Make no mistake about it, there is a war on your freedom of speech, your freedom of thought, your freedom to entertain and consider any position, viewpoint that you want. There are more reports coming in here every day of people's work being deleted from especially Facebook. Jim Fetzer was on last week, and that was one absolutely terrific hour with Professor James Fetzer. He has now been blocked, probably because of that video, from his own Facebook page. Now, Facebook, of course, is a horror. Within the corporate structure of Facebook, the lives of over 1 billion people are directly, indirectly influenced every day by Facebook. They're working on their second billion people now. You've got to keep that in mind when you play that Facebook game. I would urge all of you to drop out. It is highly censored. They've dropped Fetzer's audio of our visit, which was just dynamite. Incredible program. On the other hand, you have some of the so-called luminaries in alternative news now who have stopped reporting on Pizzagate, for example. Do you suppose perhaps they've been threatened or given the word to knock it off or else? That's certainly a possibility. As you know, and I'm not going to belabor this, I was targeted a year and a half ago or thereabout, and I am very blessed to have survived. These people don't play games. They kill people all the time. You know about the Clinton death list. I've been reporting that for over 20 years. God only knows what the real tally is at this point. Terrorism comes in many shapes and many forms. You see it in Europe. You're seeing it here. It's being covered up by this media and completely obliterated by the mainstream media under the control of the government and the international banksters in Europe. We know what's going on. We are going to have to fight harder than ever in the legitimate alternative news community to make sure the information we are putting out there stays out there, or it's going to disappear. And we hope when Donald Trump comes in, we certainly hope he does come in, that there will be some guarantees. Steve Bannon and Breitbart, there's a man who is plenty savvy. He gets it. So we'll see what kind of guarantees for freedom of speech, freedom of the press, are announced, instigated, and enforced by the Trump administration. All we have to do is really enforce the laws on the books. We don't need too many new laws. We need fewer laws. And it's hoped that Trump, in his first few days, will in a wholesale fashion begin to deconstruct and delete many of the evil works of Obama. Don't close the door behind you. Just get the hell out, Obama. Go. George Webb is with us this hour. He's new to the program. George has a very active and vital internet media, which is primarily YouTube videos. He's got a great media platform. He's been covering this Eric Braverman thing. How many of you know who Eric Braverman is? Hold up your hands. I thought so. Not many. Eric Braverman, this is a big story. George is on this. He is a researcher. He's a journalist. His YouTube videos are a major media platform that I want to draw more attention to. George, thank you for being here and welcome to the program.
Thanks, Jeff. I appreciate you having me on.
Indeed. Indeed. Now, I was just looking and listening to your newest video, which you've got. How many videos do you have out now that you've been on this?
Well, Eric Braverman, being the ex-CEO of the Clinton Foundation, kind of went into hiding.
Yeah. So they say.
You know, late on. Yeah, who knows exactly when his last post to his Twitter was, October 12th.
Okay, just to recap, hold on. Eric Braverman was the CEO of the Clinton Foundation. All right? Does Eric Braverman have enough knowledge to deep six anybody he wants? Probably. So he vanished. He's gone, and George has been following this story. His newest video is, Where is Eric Braverman, and Who Killed Monica Peterson? So let's go back to the Braverman thing. Tell us more about Mr. Braverman.
Well, he joined the Clinton Foundation around July of 2013. But if you go back to when he was a consultant for McKinsey, he actually joined or created a organization for Haiti after the earthquake called IHRC, which was this kind of Haiti Relief Commission that he created.
Yeah, may I say, may I say something, George, and excuse the interruption. I don't interrupt much, but this is really important. Barack Hussein Obama, Barry Satoro, named as the executor of all funds that were donated, relief funds, to Haiti after the earthquake, the Clinton Foundation. They were put in charge of all monies that were donated or otherwise allocated to be spent in Haiti to rebuild the country and provide shelter, home, food, etc. for the residents there. Over $7 billion was put into the hands of the Clinton Foundation. And as I've said on this program many times, the Clintons say they grudgingly say they've made money. They're billionaires now. Most of that $7 billion vanished or was appropriated in ways that has left most Haitians to this day enraged. They hate the Clintons. They know what happened to their relief money. Go ahead, George. Thanks.
Yeah, well, Jeff, you make a good point. I mean, the folks from Haiti have protested in front of the Clinton Foundation on Fifth Avenue in New York beginning in 2015 about every 2 months, saying we got about 2% of the money.
That's right.
That was donated.
Yeah.
So what I try to do in my video series is it's really an open source resource project. So I take good reporting that's done. A lot of it is New York Times, Washington Post, etc., and I connect the dots, and I just show these repeating patterns, as you have mentioned, with the Clinton Foundation, and get people to come to the site and give me additional evidence. So basically, when Jeff Sessions or whoever walks in on the January 20th has a ready-made case with the day they walk in, with a lot of connections and research.
So you're aggregating more and more information, more data about these crooks. That's a very wise way to use the internet. Good job.
Yeah. So I call it, entity, relationships, that people, will say, oh, okay, well, this Frank Giustra, for instance, the guy who works, with Clinton, they have 1,100 hidden donors for the Clinton Foundation. Okay. The reason why it's hidden is because there are NATO generals, U.S. generals, U.S. politicians, EU politicians, et cetera. Lots of military people. And you're going to find in my series a lot of oil interests, like, Biden, Vice President Biden has a big oil play in the Ukraine, for instance, and over and over again, you're going to find Senator McCain has a lot of interest in arms deals.
Right. Well, McCain was just over in Ukraine yesterday on the front line with the Kiev Nazi army, urging them to invade Donbass and rape and pillage and loot, and God only knows what that maniac is pushing. And then you mentioned Biden's kid. Got involved somehow with one of the major energy consortiums in Ukraine and basically took control of a lot of it.
Yeah. And so I have all those kind of links on my site. So every slide in my little presentation has links to those different things. And the strength of what I'm doing is not really what, my individual videos. It's the contributors that come to my site and put these links in there. Uh-huh. And show these connections. And if you just follow the money, and follow the arms and follow the oil, it all surfaces. The whole subterfuge and so forth and all the clandestine things surfaces, and you can see it for what it is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very good. This is an unusual thing to find on YouTube. It's a series. It's an interactive two-way kind of investigative series. And you couldn't have picked a better, God, 2%, that's just resonating in my head. The 2% out of $7.1 billion, I believe that was the exact official total, that was donated to Haiti for earthquake relief. made it to the Haitian people. I think they built a couple hundred little ramshackle alleged houses, and that was about it. They hate the Clintons. Oh, my God, do they hate them. They know they've been ripped off. The Clintons are billionaires. Make no mistake about it. None.
Well, and Jeff, you point out exactly the building scam was very much like you go back to Whitewater. And what they would do is, you know, buy a whole bunch of land, which is a Whitewater scheme, and then they'd build a model house or a couple model houses.
Right.
And then they would have, you know, the excavation equipment and, you know, the little stakes with the, you know, peep surveyors.
Survey stakes, sure.
Like a hub of activity, and then they would sell these lots to people, and they would sell them over and over and over. So you get these cash deposits, and then, you know, then the mortgage guarantee would collapse the loan,
right,
and everybody would lose their money. Haiti is just the same thing. If you look at the three or four major projects in Haiti, they built the model home. You know, Braverman would come down. And you know, in my investigation, I still don't know if Braverman's a bad guy or a good guy. He comes down and he sees these projects starting. There's supposed to be 1,600 homes here. There's supposed to be 15,000 homes there.
Right.
And you're exactly right, Jeff. There's like 50 that get built, and then the project collapses.
Well, this goes back to Whitewater. These people, they know what they're doing. They're mm-hmm. professionals
it's
at
a repeating.
It. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a repeating pattern. Yeah.
Yeah, and then you look at... I mean, this whole Clinton thing is so sordid and evil and black and ugly and deadly and perverted. And I don't want to get into Pizzagate necessarily this hour, but believe it, when they start, the Clintons, the Clinton camp and those affiliated and associated with them, begin to talk about how the evil Russians have planted child porn in our computers. So, and look, that's called a preventive damage control. They've got it already in their computers. These people are evil as hell. It doesn't get any worse.
So there's an alternative theory that says Hillary is just learning from the CIA kind of playbook, which is extort, you know, go in, create these brownstone operations, which are where you film people, you know, having sex with people that they shouldn't be having sex with so you can extort from them,
right,
and so forth. And I talk about this in the series, and that's something that's gone on since the 50s. You know, Hillary didn't invent that. But I do talk about how Hillary kind of just turns up the volume on all these old CIA kind of techniques for extortion and, you know, for leverage on people. And that's one of the things I bring to the series.
Well, that's what you've just made very clear. And leverage, extortion, bribery, blackmail, controlling people through compromised situations that were artificially created. That's how our government is run. That's how much of our government is controlled and administered by outsiders, insiders. It doesn't matter whether you're talking about Israeli Mossad ops or the Clinton gang ops. It's the same old stuff. And you just put your finger on it. You put your hand on it. That's it.
Well, and if you go back to the Dulles brothers and so forth, their idea that there is this kind of permanent government, which is this intelligence community, the CIA and et cetera, and the, the Wall Street, you know, so forth.
Right.
And then there's this transitional government, or what they call transient government, which is whoever's in the White House.
Comes and goes, yeah.
Yeah, and we can go ahead and do covert ops. We can, you know, overthrow our vents in Guatemala and do whatever we want, and we'll tell Eisenhower about it later, or we'll tell Kennedy about it later after we do the Bay of Pigs and et cetera, et cetera. So this isn't really new to Hillary, but what you're seeing is Hillary just kind of upping the ante with poison gas in Syria and, you know, upping the ante with, you know, Stinger missiles to the Muslim Brotherhood and 32 nations. And she's just kind of saying, well, hey, I'm just more efficient at it, you know. So there's another school of thought. She's not really evil. She's just upping the ante. She's just turning up the volume.
Well, if she thinks she's not evil, then good luck. This is all to include terrorism, named and unnamed, ISIS. It's all under the general umbrella of bribes, bribe funnels, influence peddling, and munitions. Deadly weapons. How many weapons did they find in Aleppo that were American-produced? Lots of them. All right? These things are being funneled constantly to ISIS. That's what Benghazi was about. People don't talk about that much because they don't understand. You do, I'm sure. Tell us about these, you call them bribe funnels. That's a very good term. You there, George? Whoop. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if George were cut off because of the nature of the topic of this program. I heard a beep beep and that was it. Very interesting. Okay, well, what I'm going to do, Todd's going to try and get him back. Let me just talk for a minute. George Webb, I've got his current video should be under his name and guests. And what I'll do is actually play some of the audio of that. Who is Eric Braverman and where is he? The CEO of the Clinton Foundation has been missing. Is he deep sixed or is he hiding out under some kind of protective custody? Did he turn state's evidence? Who knows? All right. Well, I don't hear George back yet. George, are you there?
I'm back, Jeff.
Did they cut us off, or did you drop somehow?
I think NSA didn't like where we were.
Well, that's what I said when you left. No question about it. They don't like this. They don't like what I do, and I do a lot of this. And that's why Jim Fetzer's video is being disconnected wherever they can get their hands on it. Tell us more about these funnels, these bribe funnels, as you call them.
Well, you know, IHRC was the official funnel that Eric Braverman created with Laura Graham at the Clinton Foundation. He was at the McKinsey Foundation in 2010, and right after the earthquake occurred. And if you're
IHRC, George, excuse me, IHRC, one Hillary Rodham Clinton, is that it? One.
Something, you got it. It was the Interim Haiti Relief Commission.
Got it. Funny coincidence there, huh?
Yeah, it was. It was a very good perception there. So you mentioned the $7.1 billion. That's the official vehicle that the USAID program put the money through. And Eric Braverman worked with the World Bank to basically put the proposals forward to funnel that money through. That was for the U.S. taxpayer dollar. Okay. But you have a whole bunch of other countries that can put money through that same funnel, like Algeria did a big arms deal, $2.4 billion arms deal, and they put $500,000 through there about 10 days after the earthquake and so forth. So it's easy for a foreign government under the cover of charity to put money through a funnel. So the function of the funnel is a cover for a bribe, okay? But the other thing I discuss in my piece is that it's difficult for the military budgets to get money from that. Military can't say, oh, I'm the government, I'm the Air Force of the Netherlands. I can't give a direct contribution to the Clinton Foundation through the Haiti funnel. So you need a second funnel, like a weapons program, like an F-35 weapons program.
Ah.
And I talk about this.
Uh-huh.
So you can bring money through there. And what you do is then you bring the money in, you get the F-35, because F-35 is taxpayer supported. So they're paying for all the research and development. And then you get the money out through subcontractors.
So I see. Sure. It's all kickbacks. It's all reversed. Very clever stuff.
Yeah. All these NATO generals and U.S. generals, CENTCOM generals, will be investing in the stuff that hangs off the F-35. So it'll be in weapons, sensor systems like Textron.
Yeah, subcontractor stuff, all of it, like you said.
Yeah. And that's the way they... So there's two funnels for the Clinton Foundation. One's kind of an arms funnel, and the other one's kind of just a general funnel for governments mm-hmm. and bribes to come back.
Wow. Speaking of the F-35, I call it the F-35 Turkey. Donald Trump has actually gone to Boeing. You may have seen the story, and said, I want you to pencil out how much it'll cost us to refit and upgrade the F-18 Super Hornet. He wants to keep that as a platform. We have spent the American taxpayer. We have been looted to the tune of over $1 trillion with the F-35 project. A trillion, folks.
Yeah, $1.5 trillion is the total program, and only 200 have been delivered so far. And if you look at the program, it was started in 1993 as a joint strike fighter, JSF program. So this goes back to Hillary Clinton, believe it or not, in the West Wing, dealing with the Senate Arms Subcommittee way back then. So you're going to see all this pattern of, you know, delay. Let's use the government for the R&D, and funneling it through the subcontractors all the way back to 1993.
She's been looping money out of that since then. Wow.
Yeah. And then when she became a senator in 2001, then she went on the Senate Arms Committee. That's when she started going after Lockheed and using Lockheed as a funnel.
Wow. Wow. Amazing. We're very concerned about Trump even making it to being sworn in now. And it is said if they, and I believe there are factions now, but the primary faction, if they want somebody gone, they'll be gone no matter what. Trump can have as much security, human security, as he wants, but if they want somebody gone, and I hope I'm wrong. They would love to have Mike Pence as president. They have no problem controlling that little idiot who has stabbed Trump in the back multiple times, and it's just not talked about. So we are in very dangerous times now. Would you agree?
Yeah. You know, you mentioned, Jeff, you mentioned a great example of when Trump went to Mexico City. It was thought that Sinaloa cartel, you know, Nieto and Calderon and Fox all been Sinaloa kind of props, that Sinaloa had set up a deal to intercept his motorcade. And so that's why the Secret Service flew him in from the opposite direction. That was a potential setup there. And now you have all these stingers. You know, Hillary has 20,000 stingers.
20,000? Did you say 20,000 stingers? George?
No.
Yes. I'm sorry. They cut you off again. Did you say 20,000 stingers?
20,000. 2,000 were recovered, according to Andrew Shapiro at the State Department, but... So there's 18,000 out there somewhere. Now, ISIS fired off a lot of those in Aleppo and other, you know, near Damascus and so forth in that war. But even if 500 got over here, shipped over here.
Come right across the border, shipped in through containers. Only 2 out of 100 containers are ever opened and looked at ports of entry, by the way.
Yeah. So La Raza is the political arm of Sinaloa. So Sinaloa cartel, La Raza, is the political arm in the United States. If you have, let's say, 5 gangs with 5 guys in a truck, and you give 5 stingers per 5 guys, you cover 5 airports around the Washington, D.C. area and 5 stingers.
Yeah.
And here comes Trump's plane. You know, you're going to get 3 out of the 4 engines. You know, with the heat seeking, it's a slow, you know, slow takeoff or slow landing.
Oh, yes. There's a big fat target just hanging there in the air. That's sickening. George, hold on. We have to take a break. We'll come right back and pick it up right there with more conversation and analysis with George Webb in just a couple minutes. To radiation exposure, the brilliant Chernobyl-proven discovery of Dr. Michael Kuriak, which combines the 4 most potent and powerful algaes on the planet, imported to the U.S. and known as Bio's Superfood. I've taken Bio's Superfood every day for several years now and want you to do the same for your sake and the health and safety of your family and loved ones. Take the banner at the top of Rents.com and prepare to learn how to save your life.
You are what you eat? No, not true. You are what you can't absorb, because not absorbing nutrition leads to nutritional deficiency and degenerative diseases. Medication does not fix nutritional deficiencies, and North American soil is now 85% nutritionally depleted. That means your body is not getting the vitamins it needs from just grown foods. Introducing Protovite, the world's first and only full-spectrum protosomal supplement. Protovite is a proprietary liquid system that allows premium quality nutrients to positively affect the blood in an astonishing 5 minutes. That's rapid absorption. Then Protovite liquid continues to release sustained nutrition in the stomach, intestines, and colon over a prolonged period of time. See Protovite in action. Watch our amazing 2-minute live blood cell video today at TrueHealthFacts.com. That's TrueHealthFacts.com. Or call 502-410-3411. 502-410-3411. Protovite is nutrition you can feel. Protovite is nutrition that gets in.
My brother called me and said, "Why don't we try this carnivore stuff?" So I had an enlarged heart. This heart condition is also the world's biggest killer. So I decided to start taking carnivore. It was just incredible. Feelings that I never felt before, such as pins and needles around my heart. When I had the echocardiogram 2.5 months later, something amazing happened, which really brought tears to my eyes. My heart actually had contracted. But what was staggering about this was the speed in which it contracted 2.5 months after I started taking carnivore. That's when those amazing results started coming through. That's why I keep carnivore very close to the heart. Excuse the pun.
Well, I'll take it. That works beautifully.
Owner Richard Ostro here. We're talking about the power of waking up your immune system, which has healed this gentleman's heart. Perhaps the immune system can be called one of the body's fiercest powers to heal. Visit carnivora.com or call 1-866-836-8735. That's 1-866-836-8735.
Okay, right back to you and talking with George Webb. If you do not understand that they, I'm using the term and you understand who we're talking about, will not hesitate to take down an airplane with 300 people in it to get one or two or three people, you don't understand. They've done this for years, decades. They don't care. If you're targeted, they're going to get you. And Paul Craig Roberts is now saying Trump will be assassinated.
Well, I would definitely agree that he's in very serious danger between now and the inauguration. Just because you've had the recount thing didn't go, the Soros protest didn't go, and then the Russian hack thing is not scouring, you know, that's not, nobody's believing that. But what are you left with? And if she waits until he's inaugurated, he's, you know, put in, it, things become much more complicated. So I would definitely agree with you.
Speaking of the F-35s, by the way, you say 200 have been delivered. I've forgotten how many the Israelis are getting. I think it's 30 or 40. And what they'll do with those airframes is make them better. That's what they always do with our material. And they'll have an F-35 that is actually viable and a good plane. They'll never get to the full deployment. I think Trump has served notice with his original complaint that everybody heard about and Boeing responded to about the, what was it, $2 billion for two new Air Force Ones or something like that. Trump said no, and Boeing backed down. The graft and corruption, the greed is just limitless. And what we have here is a situation. Donald Trump is especially vulnerable. Why? Because of his extended family. He loves his kids. And those kids are all vulnerable. And how can you possibly cover that whole family all the time? It's not easy to do. We do know about the attempts to kill Donald Trump already. There have been three that I know about. I don't know how many you know about, but you know the story about Barry Lee Bush, right, in the Trump Tower. Now, that happened about six. That happened 6 months ago. The Trump motorcade was approaching the Trump Tower, and they had the front cordoned off. Secret Service and other intel people that are working with them and private security. And they caught a guy trying to get to the service elevator on the ground floor. And they caught him, put him up against the wall, and found that he was carrying a Glock with a silencer. No serial numbers on the Glock. It was manufactured with no serial numbers. In other words, it was manufactured to be an assassination weapon. They took the guy down to the nearest precinct in New York, the cops did, fingerprinted him because he wouldn't give his name or his right name, found out the prints came back to a dead FBI agent who died in the line of duty in 2007. Well, unfortunately for the police, they had to face the fact that the guy was very much alive and didn't die and was obviously sheep-dipped and turned into an assassin, a wet ops guy. His name was Barry Lee Bush. And they got a picture of him and everything. He was released within the hour. No one's ever heard of him since. That was one that I know about.
Well, I know about the one in Las Vegas. And,
right?
You know, that was a where they tried to grab the police officer's gun. And what, you know, the CIA has a clutch of kids that they have trained from. The CIA went through a program where they, about 20 years ago, where they said, we don't have enough native speakers. We don't have enough Arabic speaking people. So they actually went to recruit kids that they would have them in the country for about 2 years. This is kind of like the Huma Abedin thing, where they'd learn to speak the mother tongue of Arabic, and then they would bring them back into the United States. And so there's this clutch of kids, like the Sarnayev brothers and so forth, that are used in these kind of operations. And the kid in Las Vegas who tried to charge...
19 years old, yeah.
Yeah, he had actually trained with Mateen, the kid who did the shooting in... Orlando.
Oh, what a fascinating linkage. I didn't know.
Yeah.
Wow.
And he'd also trained with the Sarnayev brothers in Virginia.
So wow.
There's kind of like a little clutch of, you know, little operative kids that speak both Arabic, and they also speak English well without
right.
an accent. So anyway, that's just kind of an aside. But then there was the kid in Dayton, or the guy who's a little bit older, about 30 years old, in Dayton that charged the stage. I don't
yeah.
remember that one.
Sure.
And that was another attempt. Yeah.
No, there was one in Reno, too. Remember the guy in the crowd? He people started yelling, he's got a gun, and they jumped him and knocked him to the floor. They didn't find the gun. It apparently was kicked across the room. Somebody took it out. He had an empty hip holster with no firearm in it. And this guy was taken to... Reno police and released that very night, and never mind a number of witnesses saw him with a pistol in his hand. So he was right in the front row. He was on the payroll of the Democratic National Committee. They found out who he was. He had connections. So there's another one.
That was right after Trump won, or maybe a day or two before the election. I can't.
It was
remember,
prior to the election.
Yeah, prior to,
as I remember.
Okay.
About a month before, I think. But anyway, that's four. And that's what we know about.
Four. Yeah, and, you know, I've got it on good authority just through my sources and so forth that said that Sinaloa had set up the Mexico City thing.
So they were going to kill him down there in a probably with RPGs and whatever on the ground in an ambush of his motorcade. Wow.
The motorcade with RPGs, yeah. And this will probably never come out, but Secret Service rerouted him through a helicopter coming the other way. And you'll see a lot of times where Trump won't come into the airport where he's supposed to. So you'll see these stories where there's a lot of people waiting, you know, to say hello and wait
sure,
to Trump.
Sure, of course, yeah.
And then he comes into an airport 30 miles away, and they bring him in through an opposite way because these Secret Service guys who are working with him are really on the ball. You know, they really know what's going on, and they see these things.
Well, he's also got ex-New York City cops, ex-intel, hired other security agents, and he's mixing them in with the Secret Service. He will not disband his private hires. They're going to have to work with the Secret Service. And if you think back about the Secret Service to John Kennedy and how they they were obviously complicit, and they were ordered away from his car. We don't know the extent of it. He's being very smart to do this. He does need to keep his own people in there. I don't know how you can protect someone. If I were Donald Trump, I'd be very much inclined to stay literally indoors and completely surrounded, not physically, but within the proximity, by the best security layers, make it a two or three layer security thing. I wouldn't go up in an airplane.
Yeah, well, you know, you mentioned a really interesting thing about this second sourcing, you know, this the wisdom of this second sourcing of intelligence.
Right.
He's kind of doing that with the CIA right now. You know, you're going to hear, you know, this ambassador story is going to come out pretty soon about Seth Rich giving the thumb drive with all the DNC emails to the ambassador in the Washington Park. That's going to come out probably tomorrow.
Craig Murray, yeah.
Yeah, Craig Murray, exactly. Trump's really quite cagey, you know, with the second sourcing. You know, the Secretary of Education, DeVos, I think is her name.
Yeah,
she,
Betsy, I think.
Betsy DeVos, yeah. Her brother is Eric Prince from Blackwater. And
that's right.
And the rumor is that he has all these light armored planes that he is going to be patrolling the border. So this is before the wall gets built.
Oh.
And he's going to, yeah, so he's going to announce that there are certain zones for crossing. So there's, you know, let's say 20 crossings that you're, you know, official crossings. Anywhere else, 6 miles either side of the crossing, and that's where he's going to build the wall, you know, 20-foot wall,
right,
is going to be considered an enemy combatant area. So he says, if you're going to be driving in a vehicle of any kind and you cross the border beyond these designated crossing areas, you're an enemy combatant. And then Prince has these light armored planes that have, you know, 20 millimeter cannons,
uh-huh,
and, you know, light machine guns. And if you cross, you get one warning, you know, one flyby, and then you're an
enemy
combatant
you out.
At that point.
That's the way it has to be, George. And I've said that in the first hour, and I hope people understood what I was saying. You cannot fight terrorism with courts and legal systems that are non-responsive to the true will of the people. They're co-opted and corrupted, like what's going on in Europe. This has to be dealt with in a summary terminal fashion when you have gross violence, whether it be rape, knife attacks, shootings. You can't put them in the system. They'll bog the system down. It's already bogged down. And so what happens? These people are being released after gang rapes within an hour. They're turned loose because, oh, it's their religion and it's their lifestyle. And, oh, he was having a sexual emergency. I mean, it's getting to be insane. And what you're saying, I hope, is true and makes perfect sense. That'd be great. Good for Eric Prince. Good for Donald Trump. We've got to rule fairly, equitably, but terminally, or terrorism will not be defeated.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite clear that, you know, Hillary's agenda is the La Raza agenda. Now, there's quite a few Somali kind of operatives in the Minnesota area and the Columbus, Ohio area.
The Somalis are the worst, George. They're the worst. That's what I hear.
Well, they take the soldiers that are child soldiers that have committed atrocities. They, you know, and they bring them here after that, so they're willing to do anything. So that's kind of like the, you know, okay, we're going to, you know, just affect this horrible, you know, anything we order you to do, you're going to do, right? But the Syrian, this 100,000 Syrians, you know, influx was going to be the next wave. You know, it's kind of like the Somalis were going to be the special forces in this huge Syrian wave of these ex-ISIS fighters that have done all these crimes was going to come in. So, you know, I think Trump is doing the right thing, you know, just saying, hey, we got to vet these people. You know, we got to know where they're from. So anyway, Jeff, I didn't know if I stopped.
No, you're fine. You're fine.
Yeah.
This is all important material. I don't know what is going to happen, but I've had this sense, and I think a lot of you may have had it for a while, too. Something very bad is going to happen. I just wish I didn't have this feeling. Maybe it'll go away. Maybe nothing's going to happen. These are the most dangerous days, arguably, for many decades in American history, right now, until the 20th. Anything could happen. False flag operations could be used to give Obama a reason, an alleged reason, to attack Iran. Let's say they light off a dirty bomb in some small or medium-sized U.S. city, and a number of city blocks are contaminated, and they can't be used anymore for 100 years with cobalt. And they blame the Iranians. The mainstream media only too happy to carry the lie forward to whatever degree and extent that they're told to do, because they're owned by the very people at the top of the corporatocracy, the international elite. They do what they're told. So the Iranians light off a nuke here. 5,000 Americans die. War on Iran, instantly. And where does that put Vladimir Putin, who works with Iran? We could write, probably the two of us, George, 50 scenarios of things that could happen that would be all false flags and contrived between now and the 20th.
Well, let me take your example, Jeff, because if you look at the port of Canaveral, which is near Cape Canaveral in Florida, it is actually under the control of the UAE, United Arab Emirates.
How can that be?
And,
I know, but how can that be?
31 ports, but Cape Canaveral especially, which, yeah. You know, you've got obviously the space program, you've got an Air Force location there at Cocoa Beach, you've got a Marine location, you've got a Navy location, plus you have Disney World and all these other things. So the guy who is the head of that shipping company is the guy who was ahead of Saddam Hussein's nuclear program. Is the top expert in the nuclear program. So exactly
wow.
What you're saying is, you know, if you had fissionable material and you just need to pick a dynamite, you don't need to actually create, you know, explosive
right.
blends and all that stuff.
Right,
you know,
right.
You can just, exactly what you're saying, and then we have a false flag that we have to attack Iran, right? And then you declare martial law. You know, I mean, it really is... It's not an unrealistic situation.
No, not at all.
You know?
Martial law, continuity of government. We have to suspend the transition of power because we're at war. Whatever. Let's see somebody take the guy out. I don't know if he. It seems to me that when we reelect 94% of the same people to Congress in the last election, these people are all compromised. They're bribed, they're blackmailed, they're threatened. This is just a fact of life. I think anything is possible. I won't take anything off the table at this point.
Yeah, you know, Jeff, you make a great point that every day is a day closer to stability. And the days that hang in the balance, the next 20 days are the days that hang in the balance. Because once Trump's in, then you have a whole different ascension of power and different, folks in Department of Defense and DHS, and et cetera.
Right.
So I totally agree with you. Every day is kind of like a nail biting day, you know, as we go forward.
Okay. Let me go back to your current video, Eric Braverman. And then you mentioned, a woman. Who is this woman, and why should we be concerned about her?
Well, so there is this researcher, and her name is Monica Peterson, and she was working. She was from the University of Denver, and she was working investigating sex trafficking. And what she was looking into was, and when she went to Haiti, she was looking into these kind of sweatshops, or you know. I guess, for lack of a better word, sweatshops, where there was microfinancing involved. And microfinancing sounds really great. It sounds like, oh, I'm going to, as a person here in America, I'm going to give $50, and then that's going to go to a woman who's going to buy a sewing machine, and then she's going to be able to make clothes and send her all of her kids to school,
right.
And so forth. But what it turns out to be, the microfinancing thing, and there's this guy, Hugh Sinclair, that I point out on my website, is that actually the interest rate is 195%. So this is the payday loans thing all over again, where these women sign a contract with their fingerprint. They can't even read and write. And they borrow $500, and then they make all these loans to keep paying their interest on their loans. So then they go into prostitution. They put their kids, they start working their kids 12 hours a day, and the kids go into prostitution, you know, and all this kind of downward spiral.
Or worse.
Or worse, you know, selling in India, selling organs.
Right.
One kidney, a lot of women sold one. So anyway, this Monica Peterson went to Haiti and was researching these things with the Clinton Foundation. And she, a 23-year-old, beautiful girl, happy, making a lot of great posts on Facebook, and all of a sudden she supposedly committed suicide. And I'm in contact with a lot of her friends and so forth, and we're working to...
Not going to happen. That doesn't happen. No, of course not. It's the Clinton M.O. Seth Rich, two shots in the back of the head. How many people have they killed? Hundreds. I'm talking not just necessarily about the Clintons, but the machine. Paul Wellstone and his wife and four others on the plane. That plane tore the wings off when it went into the woods. The fuel was in the wings, and yet the fuselage burned for 7 hours. Firefighters couldn't put it out. So it had accelerants on board. Cheney had threatened Senator Wellstone a month earlier, you better stop or you're going to pay. And he's dead. They kill people, like I say, all the... How about the guy who was working at the UN, the black guy, who dropped a barbell allegedly on his throat right before he was going to testify against Hillary Clinton?
John Nash.
That's it.
And then that was the F-35 plans. So Hillary works with this. I mean, I'm just going to say this, and I could prove it later. But there's this group in China, these five hackers, that oops, I got hacked again. So if you look at the J-31 fighter, it exactly like the F-35, only they made improvements. You said the F-35 was a flying turkey. It actually looks like, I call it a flying penguin, because it has the short little flippers. But anyway, that's the angle there is the Chinese hacking.
They get blueprints. They have spies over here. They don't even need spies. I think that what the Clintons did to China was sell them, I think it was five, of our absolute top-of-the-line supercomputers. And they did it, and they got a lot of guff from people in Congress who were complaining, Republicans, about the Chinese would use them for military. Well, the Clintons said, no, no, the Chinese have signed an agreement promising never to use these computers for anything to do with military. So we're going to go ahead and sell them the computers. And they did.
And those go into, nuclear planning and game planning and all the wing design and avionics design for, actually the Chinese redesigned, because the F-35 is such a poor design. It's just got this huge thick, midsection, cross section. They actually came out with a new fighter, the J-20, and it's a very trimmed down, sleek version of the F-35. Mm-hmm. So even they rejected the F-35 Penguin design.
Wow. Just gets crazier. George, you have a website. I don't think I have that. What is your website? Or do you your YouTube videos?
Just YouTube. Just search on George Webb for the YouTube, and you'll see, or Eric Braverman YouTube, and you'll hit it.
Have you gotten any threats yet?
Besides the
cutoff we just had 25 minutes ago?
Well, no, it's been a lot worse than that. I mean,
I'm sure.
Just to be, in the couple of minutes we have left, the folks here it goes back to the permit government versus the transitional.
Right.
They do not want anyone saying this truth. They do not. They do not want this to be known, or like your show, Jeff. They don't want them to be discussed, and they have ways of disrupting you. So what I would cite to your listeners is Bill Clinton in 1998 signed a thing called Presidential Directive, Decision Directive. It's called a PDD.
PDD, yeah.
PDD, Presidential Decision Directive 62, which was, hey, we want a disruption program. And the disruption program is go into your health records, go into your IRS records, go into any kind of records I can get. Like the Chinese did the OPM hack, you know, the hack of all the government employees.
Right.
And then disrupt. So you don't even have to be, people hitting on you in person, you know, on the street.
Oh, they can, you know, no, they can make your life. Oh, if I were to tell people what I've had to deal with, they would hear exactly what you're saying and understand. Well, yeah, they have many ways of making life very difficult for people. Very difficult. And many people will quit. They just say, I've had it. I can't deal with it anymore. And if they don't, then they try to kill them. So it's...
Yeah, it's the psychological operations, and this all goes kind of back to, the Stasi had a program, you know, they called it disintegration, or can't remember the exact name of it now. But it's just like this death by a thousand cuts. You know, we're going to disturb your interview for your new job. We're going to disturb your, you know, student loan. We're going to disturb your application to med school or whatever. You know, just constant disturbance, and eventually you crater. You know,
it's exactly what happens. George, thank you very much for sharing this hour with us. I'd like to have you back soon to keep track of this, so we will be in touch.
Jeff, thank you very much. Your worldwide audience, I've been very impressed, so thank you.
Thank you, sir. Take care.
You care.
All right. There's a good man, another good man, in the thin line of people who are risking their lives to try to save our country. And he's right about the permanent government and the transient government. He's totally right. Back in just a few minutes.